where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and meaning by embracing our divine essence. And Adam Roa is on the show today, and he has the coolest bio. So I'm actually going to read out word for word because I loved it. Adam trains spiritual ninjas. He combines his love of logic and practicality with his deep connection to spirituality, which is like one of my favorite things ever. He works to expand consciousness and create a more loving world in whatever ways he can. And currently that's as a coach, an international speaker, a conscious content creator, and host of the Deep Dive podcast. Adam, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, this is a pleasure. I'm happy to be here, and I'm glad you liked the bio. I was just saying how I typed that up while I was in line for a smoothie. And so, yeah, sometimes, you know, the best responses are the spur of the moment stuff, not like these canned things that you send to everyone.
Beautiful. And do you know what I love about that? Because that's the essence of what we're talking about is how to bring the spirituality into the practical. So it's how to put these things that are so important into everyday moments of life. And I feel like that kind of captures what you were just talking about there. Hey.
Yeah, there's a tendency in the new age spiritual community to want to kind of leave behind the old paradigm. So anything having to do with structures and science and practicality and logic, they want to kind of leave it behind. And I was very much guilty of that as well. When I first got into spirituality, I wanted to be astral projecting and like leaving my body and just not having anything to do with staying grounded. But you know, it's all about balance. And so finding a way to blend those two worlds is what I'm really passionate about.
Me too, which is why I'm so excited to be talking about this today. I would love to know though, first of all, when you said that you got into it and you were like astral projection and all that sort of stuff, like how did you even begin to understand spirituality and start to explore it?
Well, I went through the most trying year of my life in 2013. Like everything seemed to be falling apart. I was going through what I later heard was a Saturn return and a hollowing out period. So just everything that could go wrong was going wrong. And ultimately, I had a car accident that led to hip surgery. And then out of sheer desperation, because I was someone who didn't believe in God or any of these spiritual concepts that now kind of I live my life by, I wound up in an ayahuasca circle. And so that plant medicine ceremony that weekend, I entered as one person and I left having done a complete 180. Mm. So that was the launch of spirituality for me.
Wow. Cool. Okay. Because I found out about ayahuasca in January this year. And I was so against it at the time. I was so against like mushrooms and everything like that. All plant medicines. I saw them as drugs, and I had had so many people in my life turn to drugs and then just be lost, you know, like seeing people really lose who they were and who I loved them for, and like they just were gone pretty much. And so the first time I found out about it, a few days later, I actually did my first journey on mushrooms, and the experience that I had of like energy flowing through my body and all around me was like all of this spirituality stuff I've been talking about, I could actually feel. And so I've not stopped hearing about ayahuasca since, which I know is how ayahuasca works and calls to you. So could you tell us about that? And if anyone hasn't even heard what ayahuasca is or plant medicine, and they're still thinking like, you guys are on drugs and how are you even able to talk about this on a podcast? Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, no, I'm happy to. It's funny because Melinda, my partner, and I, we just got back from leading a week-long retreat at Rhythmia, which is a all-inclusive resort in Costa Rica that has the first government license to facilitate plant medicine ceremonies. So ayahuasca ceremonies with like medical staff on premise, and you get blood tests, you get all this stuff done, and then you get to be heavily supervised and held in a beautiful container. So it's totally appropriate that we're having this conversation since we just got back on 2 days ago.
Nice.
So I mean, the main thing is it's plant medicine, and every major civilization like throughout history has some sort of plant medicine interwoven into their culture, whether it's the Black Lotus, whether it's ayahuasca or San Pedro or Iboga or all of these from all over the world. There's a similar theme of how it was used in ceremony. And what you said is perfect, which is it's really an opportunity for us to experience a spiritual connection that for many of us is just a concept. And so taking that concept of energy and being connected to everything and knowing that you're fully held by spirit, like those concepts, it's one thing to talk about them. It's one thing to hear about them on a podcast and hear about them from Abraham Hicks and you know, all these different sources, but to experience it really makes it a whole different thing. And for me, I still am in many ways, just incredibly stubborn. And so I needed that firsthand, really powerful experience before I was ready to accept any of those concepts at all.
It is such an embodied experience and something that you kind of then can't pretend away or, you know, go back to normal life and be like, oh, that book was good, but you know, it's not really practical. But one of the things that I've found to be so important with plant medicine or any kind of really intense spiritual experience, because they can come in other ways as well, is that integration afterwards. So you don't do plant medicine or something like that and be like, that's the way that I get to feel spiritual and amazing and close to enlightenment. Like, it's actually about integrating what you've learned in your life after that. So what did you do when you came back from that ayahuasca experience the first time?
So when I came back from that, the first time, I came home and Melinda was home and she wanted to hear how that experience went. And I sat on the couch and I cried. Like I just couldn't even put it into words. And so I just cried. And we'd been together about 4 years, almost 5 years probably at that point. She had never seen me cry. Like I'd never cried. It's not that I hid it from her. I really think that maybe I hadn't even cried for those 5 years that we've been together. And so for me to come home and just be broken open emotionally and just willing to sit there, just super vulnerable, said more than words, you know? And so, yeah, it was a complete different thing. From that weekend, I just had this knowingness of being connected to everyone and everything and having a new found belief in God. God is such a loaded word in today's day and age. And so you can use, for people listening to this, you can replace God with the universe or spirit or source or the divine or creator or whatever. But this powerful, presence that's always there, the thing that's inside all of us, the thing that I can recognize as the divinity in you. And Yeah, I had a belief in all of that in essentially one weekend.
It's crazy and so freaking cool. Do you know, I think my year that was like yours probably was in 2013 as well. I'll calculate it another point, but I think it was the same year. And it felt like everything fell apart. Like I split up with my partner who was my best friend for 8 years, a mentor who really kind of built me up and showed me that I could be anything that I wanted to be. It felt like I then couldn't do anything that I wanted to do around her. And I lost my primary client, which was kind of like my job. Like I really was treating my business as like a freelancing thing at the time. So I went from having like an income, people I loved around me, to feeling like I kind of had all of the foundations of my life fall out from underneath me. And that's where I found spirituality as well. Like I would sit at the bottom of the shower and just repeat over and over. I had this feeling that everything happens perfectly. Trust, believe, have faith. And I didn't even know what I was having faith in at the time. It just like came to me and I kept repeating it. And so I guess that's what I see as the foundation of the reason why I turned to spirituality, is that like that safety net beneath you, that you know that you don't have to be the one that like does everything all by yourself. You have this force that is always like kind of colluding in the background for you. And that's how I see the practical everyday aspect of spirituality. Is that similar to you? Can you resonate with
that? Yeah, I can definitely resonate with that. And it's not surprising that it happened around the same time. You know, the Mayan calendar around 2012 corresponds with the Earth's wobble of and that wobble being a 26,000 year revolution cycle. And the way that I explain that to people is if you're trying to grow some sort of crop or like flowers or something like that, if you try and grow it in January or you try and grow it in June, you're going to receive different results. One will be much easier and one will be much more labor intensive in order to have any success in growing that. And it's very similar right now what's happening as a planet as far as spiritual connection. Up until that 26,000 year precession of the equinox where in 2012 where it came back around and started again, we're entering into a more fertile soil for people to experience spiritual connection. So there's a lot of people, myself included, who had no real semblance of a spiritual connection going into that time frame, and now are at the forefront and have dedicated their lives to love. at the very core of it all is that concept, the concept that we are all connected, the concept that we are all supported. And by recognizing that, it frees us from the confines of our limiting beliefs and all our fears that we allow to control us, and we allow society to perpetuate in a way that that just keeps us held down. You know what I mean? It's really sad to see so many people that I love personally who don't feel like it makes any sense or it's not very safe to pursue their dreams.
Mm-hmm. And that it's not, I guess it feels like spirituality is recognizing that we are the divine and we are the creator of our own lives. And so when we go after our dreams, we recognize that if we can put them into a vision and we can release the fear and we can bring love to that, that we can create what we desire. And I wish that we could gift that piece of knowing to everyone on the planet. Like that would be so freaking cool.
Well, we the closest thing we can do is plant medicine, in my opinion. It is for people who, I mean, I was just at this retreat and we were leading workshops each day, and people would be able to go into ceremony at night. And then during the day, they could come to us and talk to us about their experience, and we would lead our workshops, and it was this integrative experience. And I saw people who didn't even really know what it was, had no spiritual bone in their body, they would say, who left there completely changed, like completely after 1 week, and just three or four ceremonies. So the consciousness of the earth, the earth is a living organism, and any living organism has a consciousness. The earth has a consciousness, and it comes through in the plants. It's in there. They grow out of that soil. And so when I think of plant medicine, I don't think of it as some drug. I think of it as tapping into the consciousness of the earth that's in it. And there's very few things in my life that give me as powerful a knowingness as the times I've done ceremony.
Mm, very cool. I hope that inspires some people who are feeling like they've either never heard of it or have had some resistance to it to even just open the door a little to exploring it.
Well, it is important. I'm going to say it's very important that it's done safely with, you know, shamans who are vetted and not just like in your friend's backyard, or like go buy a bunch of mushrooms and take them in the dark with like some scary music playing. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like doing it safely and having someone who really knows how to facilitate that. And that's really important.
And I think the intention setting beforehand seems to be a really important part as well. And do you know what? I actually had a really interesting experience. I was with some friends in Bali recently, and we went to a cafe and we got hot raw cacao drinks. And so we had honestly no idea if they were like the kind of ceremony grade raw cacao or if they were just like hot chocolates. So what we did was set an intention anyway, that we were going to open to a beautiful space of connection and laughter, and like it's a really deep kind of connection where you can just see each other's souls. And we did that, and we had such a beautiful, beautiful time, and we all felt exactly what our intention was. And so I feel that the power of our intention behind anything that we do can really transform the experience anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the, you know, intention's everything. A lot of times what we say or what we do is simply just a neutral event, and it's the intention behind it. Because I could tell you, I could say a sentence to you, and my intent of those words could be to hurt your feelings, or to help create a deeper connection with you by being honest. Like, the two different intentions will determine a lot of how that can be received and how that goes out into the world. And that's the same with anything that we do. I imagine a lot of your audience may be familiar with Peter Kelly. And I had Peter Kelly on my podcast. And when I was interviewing her, she was talking about how after her first ayahuasca ceremony, she actually wound up going through the house, like dancing, like everywhere she went in the house, she would just dance, because why not? Like, why not set the intention of living life to the fullest in every single moment, even if it's just brushing your teeth, you know? Yeah. And I think that as human beings, we tend to look for the next big breakthrough, the next big milestone. And we lose sight of the fact that life is happening while we're waiting for those milestones to show up.
Especially, I think, in the personal development world, we can get so caught up with like the next event, the next limiting belief that we can clear, breaking through our stuff and all that sort of like next thing, and not recognizing that like we're already here. We're already whole.
Incredibly addictive. It's incredibly addictive for anyone who's a personal development addict like I am. there's nothing better than breaking through something that's been limiting you and you didn't even realize it. It's like, oh, it's like you just got led into a candy store that you've never been in before. And you're just like, I can have anything I want. That's amazing.
That's so true. And you can look back at the rest of your life before that and you're like, oh, and it feels like they just filter into place in a different way. You're like, oh my God, I never knew.
Yeah, you get to see all those places. You're like, that's why I did that? Oh my gosh. If only, and for me, the game is also about not getting hung up on what life could have looked like had I known sooner. Because I tend to go into that analysis mode. And luckily, I also get to experience that as a coach, right? Like I get to experience seeing that those breakthroughs happen in my clients. And so I feel like I get a lot of those breakthroughs all the time. Like I'm constantly getting them, even if they're not mine. They do feel like mine in some sort of way.
Do you know, that reminds me that just yesterday I did you have a deep dive podcast. I call my sessions deep dives because I love like really filtering through all of the crap that's not like, it's just surface and get into the meaty part. And I did a deep dive session yesterday and everything that we spoke about, I had experienced in the week before in little snippets, like in my own coaching session with my coach and in some random healing session that we did before we got into what we thought we were going to do in our session. We realized why it came up later on in the session. And I feel like, again, that's the divine, that's the practical element of the spirit that is always around us, guiding us. Like I believe that what happened in the week before that session totally happened so that I could then give her the same insights that I did yesterday. Do you find that as well? You get those synchronicities. You're like, oh my God, spirit, you are amazing. That is so perfect.
All the time. Right up to like, I part of my daily practice is to read every day. And so every morning I'll read. And so often what I'm reading that morning will show up in a session that later that day with a client, and the same thing, the stuff that I'm going through will show up. And I think that a lot of that has to do with being aligned with who you are from a marketing standpoint. You know what I mean? Like business coaches can coach you into how to make good marketing and attract a lot of the clients. But, my client roster, I keep it really, really small because for me, it's about finding those perfect clients, like the ones who you just vibe with. And if you're going to vibe with them, it's because they resonate with your message that you're putting out. And if that message is authentic, that means that the reason they're resonating with it is because it's reflecting back to them something that they want to see shift for themselves. Mm-hmm. And we can help people because we've been through stuff that they may be experiencing or they may resonate with. And if your clients are not my clients, you know what I mean? And there's a reason for that. And if we get caught up in the idea of, I just want as many clients as possible, then we're actually doing a disservice to ourselves and to the clients.
And that raises another really good point in terms of living in your spirituality every day, is that every conversation that you have has something to teach you in that moment. Like that every conversation, if you sit next to someone on the train and you feel like you want to talk to them, there's like some kind of energy there, that is a conversation that was kind of like divinely guided to give you a message at that time. Have you experienced that as well? And if people aren't experiencing that, do you have any tips for how they can possibly experience that divine guidance?
Yeah, that's a good one. For me, that definitely happens in every conversation, but I'm working right now on also recognizing how that happens in every moment that's not conversation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like in the ways that you can learn by like really looking at a flower or like really observing. I remember since we talked about psychedelics earlier, I would just own it at this point. But the first time I did mushrooms, I think was like I was, must've been like 18 or 19 years old. I don't really remember at that time, but I stared at a pillow. Like I just held a pillow in front of my face and I just stared at it for like 30 minutes. And I remember there were all these little individual threads on it. And I looked at it and I was like, this is me. This one thread is me. And then this is the whole, all these other threads are all the other people in the world. They just cover this pillow. And I was like, if I were to die, if I were to like remove my thread, the threads way over here would not even know. Like they would never even know. It would make no impact other than the threads that are right around it. And that's when I decided, like that did something to me where I was like, that's unacceptable. And I committed my life at that point. I was like, I'm going to make an impact so that when my thread gets pulled, all a lot of threads can feel it. And that shifted a lot since then, but it was the first time that I really felt a strong understanding of why I wanted to leave a legacy behind. And that desire has driven me down the road that I've been in, where now it's no longer about me. It's no longer about my legacy at all, but the desire to impact the world has not lessened. It's only increased. And so, yeah, that's an example of how, like, I learned something from a pillow, like staring at a pillow. And so if we can start to tap into that, there's an infinite amount of knowledge available to us and an infinite amount of wisdom. And it's just a part of our brain that we can just start to tap into on a regular basis. And for anyone who's listening, who doesn't know how to start doing that, the number one thing I can say is always come at it as a student. Like always sit in the student's chair. When we were leading the retreat last week, there were other workshops that went on during the day. And we tried as much as possible to get into those workshops and sit in the student's chair, even if we were teaching 2 hours later. Because if I read a book or if I take a workshop and I know 90% of it, if there's one thing that sticks, I just expanded. Like there's a part of me that expanded. There's a part of me now that sees the world differently. And that could be a domino effect that leads to me learning something else. And it just builds and builds and builds. But the only way that you can have that experience is if you're willing to say, I don't know everything. I don't know everything. I'm completely open. And that was tough for me because I was, I'm such a hyper intellectual person that my tendency was to be like, oh, I already know. I had to let that go. I had to let the ego drop.
Yeah. And I feel like in our society at the moment, there is so much emphasis and value on the mind and intelligence and less on the heart and being connected to spirit. So how did you drop out of letting the mind run it all the time and step into your heart?
That's a constant practice. I'm getting better at it every single day because I'm committed to it. Mm-hmm. And just like anything else, where your focus goes, you're going to see results show up. And so, yeah, I'm committed to it. But if something happens, my mind is the first, like that's where I start. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I've learned to embrace that. Like that's beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. It's only a problem if I stop there and I don't allow my heart to get involved. And so I feel like I was born being an analytical person who's tapped into the mind and the logic and the practical. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning what I'm here on this earth for is to continue to learn and open up my heart and bring that in. Mm-hmm. But you seem also incredibly heart-centered based on just some of the stuff that I've seen. So maybe you could give me tips on how to be more heart-centered.
That's cool. I like the way you just flipped that up there. Do you know, when I first found out about living in my heart, I was like, what the hell is that? And how do I get there? Right? Like people have always kind of said it like, oh, you just drop in. And I was so freaking frustrated, which I think is why I have such an emphasis on practical guidance now, because I was so frustrated that no one could tell me how to do it. And then one day I ran my first women's personal development and friendship group when I was in my early 20s. And actually this photo here is a photo of my mum and my nan embracing and hugging and crying at that night when they never cry. So that was why I did it. And I came away from that with my heart just like torn open, and I could feel it for the first time. And then I knew how to drop into it, but it kind of wore off after a while. And so I now do practice as well. One of my favorite meditations to do is one that I learned by a woman named Dr. Ricky Jane Adams, and she has a business called the Lightworker Institute. And so it's allowing, and I think she may have gotten it from HeartMath as well. And so I just imagine a white light in the center of my chest. And then I allow, as my breath expands, to just expand it out to like cover the whole of my chest. And then to cover the whole of the top of my body, and then all of my physical body, and then my energetic body, and the room, and then the house, the suburb, and then the state, the country, the whole world, and then eventually the universe. And that's when like my mind just can't comprehend it anymore, and it just like it, like my mind like feels like it blows open, and my heart realizes that everything is connected when I get to the universe. So that's really powerful. And sometimes when I struggle to feel the white light, I imagine it as a little candle with a flame, and like feel the flicker. Imagine what the flicker would feel like, which is like more tangible for me. Do you do anything like that?
I do a lot of crazy hippie stuff like that. I do a bunch of stuff. I think that what's important for anyone listening is it's not even so much about what you do as it is the willingness and the intent behind it. Because if your intention is to become a more heart-centered person like mine is, then you're going to have it in some way in the back of your mind. And when you enter into certain situations, you're going to be given a choice, because it always comes down to choice. I have the situation where I can get on the phone with customer service who's giving me a hard time and not helping me at all with my problem. And I can have the choice of, can I stay in my heart? Can I still love this person who's pissing me off? And that's where the choice, as we're given it, and we continually make it to stay open, it becomes more and more a habit. It becomes easier and easier, and you'll start to notice it show up in more nuanced places. And those little nuances, like I was talking about earlier, are what make up life. You know, they don't make it into the movies, because a movie is basically about taking nuances out of life and just leaving the like big important moments. And so being a society that's been raised on media in so many ways, we're just subliminally told that the important parts, like the big milestones, the big breakthroughs, the big action, that's the only important parts. But that's simply not true. It, you know, life becomes so much more enjoyable, so much more joyful when the nuances of life are more joyful.
Yes. Like that's why I was so excited about this podcast interview, because we're going away from your spiritual practice is 2 hours in the morning where you just sit and nothing else in life affects you. Nothing triggers you. And you just get to sit there and like, that doesn't really help as much as you're in line and you've been waiting for ages and you use that time to connect to your heart, or you like flick the switch on the kettle on and you use that time to remind yourself what you're grateful for. It's like those tiny little moments that are a spiritual practice in practical terms.
Yeah. We're seeing a lot right now, especially in the United States, we're seeing a lot with this election that we just had and the Dakota Access Pipeline protests that are going on. All of that stuff is happening. So when I see it on the Facebook feeds and the social media feeds, and that's consistently like everyone's talking about the Dakota Access Pipeline or Trump or racism, like something in a lot of ways negative in the general classification. I don't like to use positive or negative, but for this conversation, say just negative. And so the question for me is always about, while that stuff is going on, can we continue to choose and spread love? Like, can we continue to stay in our hearts and remember that the people who are spraying the protesters with water are just as deserving of our love as the people who are being sprayed by water? Donald Trump is just as deserving and just as divine a human being as you or I. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's not something that I'm claiming to always be in that space, but I can feel myself after enough time of reading articles and watching videos, I can feel my heart contracting. And it takes a practice. It takes work to reopen that. And for a lot of people, they don't have that practice of reopening it. They have no idea of how to do that. And so they're exposed to all the stuff that closes them down without the ability to open back up. And that's the most dangerous part of all of this, in my opinion, is fighting against the closing down of people's hearts, which I can see happening. And I'm doing everything I can through the videos I put out and the podcasts and personally going to places and like trying to remain, trying to lead by example as best as I can, you know.
I feel you. It can be tricky sometimes, like oneness and living as though we are all one is beautiful. And I've like had moments, or half a day actually, I got half a day out of it once, where I literally felt like Buddha. And as my partner and I were having a moment where we felt like our relationship could possibly have ended. So it could have felt like my whole world was falling apart again. But it didn't. It felt like love. Like I actually felt as though I walked past and I was like healing people with my energy. I got half a day out of that. Like it's a practice just continually of coming home to that, I think, and reminding ourselves of that. But oneness feels beautiful. In practice, for me, it's still been something that my mind is trying to comprehend, and I know that it probably can't. Do you have tips? Like, how far along are you with oneness? Can you give me some tips?
You know, it's one of these, right? Like you were saying, it's very much one of those. I'll go through periods where I feel so connected, and then I'll go through periods where I feel incredibly disconnected, and it feels like I'm just trying to get back. And, you know, I don't know how much we're supposed to always feel that, you know, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And so, being human means feeling all the human feelings. And that includes anger and, frustration and sadness and despair and like all these things that are uniquely human. Like my dog is, first of all, I love my dog so you could probably tell on social media, but she has a range of emotions. I have seen so many emotions in her, and I may be naive, but I don't believe that dog has the same spectrum and depth to emotion as human beings do. And so I didn't choose to be a dog in this life. Like I chose this body as a human being, and therefore I chose it to experience everything about being human, to feel all the human feelings and to live the life that is unique to a human being. And so I'm learning to embrace those periods of disconnection. I'm learning to embrace those periods of being a little bit more judgmental or whatever it is, and say, okay, that's interesting that I'm feeling that. I choose something different, and I'm going to work to see how long it takes me to get out of that. But I don't beat myself up about it the way that I used to.
Yeah. Cause it's so like, sometimes the most spiritual thing that we could do is get angry and just yell and scream and let it all out, and then choose our heart again and choose love. But if we don't allow ourselves to just experience and embrace that, then it can get stuck. And that's
Yeah, it's just stuck energy. And from a practical standpoint, though, like you were saying, 2 hours, like when I'm really in flow, when I'm really also not traveling as much as I have been, then I'll take 2 hours to start my morning, like from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and be in practice. Like I will have a routine. It'll involve some sort of physical activity. It'll involve meditation. It'll involve reading. It'll involve journaling. Like, all of that is a part of my regular everyday, routine. And it can definitely be about 2 hours a day, in like a morning chunk and then scattered throughout the day. So it's more than 2 hours a day, but you know, I've found that, everything in my life improves. My business improves. I make more money. I'm a better coach to my clients. I'm a better at articulating things that go out into social media, which help people. Like all that stuff improves when I spend the amount of time that I need to be in full alignment. And if I'm going through a period like you're talking about, that's difficult. That means that I need more time each day to do that.
Except, is that one of the times when you might avoid the practice? That's what happens to me.
Yeah. But it's the same thing. You know, it's no different than, it's like spiritual broccoli, right? Like, you know, meditation's good for you. You know that, you know, reading and doing some yoga or whatever is really healthy and good for your spiritual body. But we can get in resistance to it. And you see that in food or working out. Like, I'll go through periods, like I'm craving, I've been traveling so much that I'm craving like going back to the gym or going and just being active again. But then I'll go through periods where I'm home and I actually have a chance to go to the gym and I'm just feeling not very aligned. And I'm just like, no, I just want to sit here and just like do nothing. It's interesting how the things that are best for us are oftentimes the things that are hardest for us to do or to eat or to drink.
It's very interesting. I actually recently identified my five key like self-care pillars, you know, like divine stillness and reflection and movement and eating healthy and things like that. And that has really helped me, because then when I'm like, oh, why do I feel so crap? Because as soon as I think when the more connected you are to yourself, the faster you realize that you're not, and the more it shits you when you're not in alignment. You're like, oh, this is so frustrating.
Yeah.
And that's how I then take that time to go back to the five. And every time
what are the five?
Oh, you're going to put me on the spot now. I believe that they are movement, healthy eating, divine stillness, and learning. Maybe reflection is different. So I think, yeah, like actually reflecting on myself, and then stillness is just stillness and silence. They're my five. Yeah.
Reflection, stillness, eating, movement,
and learning.
Okay.
Gosh, if I don't learn, I feel like I'm going backwards. It's like I need to read all the time or listen to something, or and when I am having a crappy time, that I often can go back to that five and realize what was missing out of that. Like, I'm like, oh, of course. Oh, actually, I think one must be journaling. I've got them written down, I promise. And journaling is reflection, right? So when I look at them, I'm like, oh, because I haven't journaled in like the last 3 days. And for me, that's like, I didn't put on my underwear. It just feels weird. So I think that for people who are listening, if they can become aware, like if you can become aware of the key things for you, and then you can kind of have this like foundation to come back to, not judge yourself because you didn't go and do them, but it's a foundation to remember where to come back to if you're feeling off. What do you think your like top key pillars would be for your self-care?
It's definitely eating plays a huge role. I'm in Arizona right now, because this is kind of the this is like a holding pattern place for me. My parents live here. This is where I grew up. And so I come back here and drop the dog off before traveling for weeks at a time. And then this is where I come back to and decompress for a moment before heading to the next thing. And mm-hmm. so there's my favorite restaurants that I grew up with are here.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really hard thing because I eat in LA, I eat so clean. And then when I come back here, I'm like, oh, there's such good Mexican food that you just can't get in California. And like, I want to go and have these things. And I notice, if I eat that food, you know, my spiritual connection is dampened and mm-hmm. I just feel less energy and, my digestion doesn't do as well. And like all these things, that I can definitely notice. Eating is one of the single most important things to me being in alignment. And then my physical body exercise, I feel so much better when I'm regularly exercising. Just not just, I mean, both physically, but also just spiritually. Like I just feel more connected to my body. Mm. And then, you know, there's a lot of things that I do, but I guess the biggest one for me outside of all that is meditation. Mm-hmm. And I usually notice my level of alignment based on how deep my meditations are. Mm. If I can really drop in, and then there I'll be meditating for 3 days in a row and I'm like, that was just all surface level. I feel like I was just going through the motions. And so then I can look at the other area, like, am I connected to my body and how's my eating been? And that usually will inform me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all that you have, Adam. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. How can people find out more about you and be one of those exclusive, perfect for you clients if they would like to?
Yeah. So my website is adamroa.com, ADAMROA. Most of the content that I put out is through Facebook. So if you just find me on Facebook, you can follow me there or request me as a friend. I think I may be able to clear some room out if people want to have friend requests in there. And then The Deep Dive is my podcast. It's called The Deep Dive with Adam Rowe. It's available on iTunes and Stitcher and SoundCloud and all that good stuff. And so those would be the ways to stay in touch with what I'm up to and what I'm doing. Thank you so much, Kiara, by the way. I really enjoyed this conversation. I want to know from you, what is the one book that's like a must read in your library?
There's so many, Adam.
I know, but you only get one.
Do you know, I would probably say The Celestine Prophecy has just jumped to mind, because I feel like whether you're like you've been on the spiritual path for 10 years or it's the first spiritual book you've ever picked up, you can really learn something from it. Ooh, or Think and Grow Rich, but I'll go Celestine Prophecy because that was the first one. What about you, Adam?
Go with your intuition.
Yeah. What about you?
I have all my clients, it's mandatory reading. They read The Untethered Soul.
Write that down.
It's by Michael Singer, I believe. And it's a book that's entirely about how we are not our thoughts or our emotions. Like we're the person observing those things. And it's a really easy read. That's really impactful. It's great.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that and all of the other juicy stuff that you have shared with us today. It's been awesome.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed it.
And if you're listening and you would like to come over and have a conversation with Adam and I, you can come to facebook.com/aninspiredlife with Kiara. And then you can tell us what was your biggest aha moment or one like spiritual but actually practical tool that you're going to be using after listening to this show. And please do head over to iTunes and rate and review so that more people can hear about this kind of amazing, juicy, tools and inspiration that we're sharing on the podcast, and hit share as well so that people can see it and more people can hear. Awesome. Thank you so much for listening and I will see you next week.
Bye-bye. Much love, everyone.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I put on there, and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions, from how to make your breakup the best thing that ever happened to you, to the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.